All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is, what's today? February the 25th, 2024. Beautiful, beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great for wherever you were at. It is Sunday morning. Up and Adam. Tons of stuff to do. I feel like spring is in the air. I'm sure that'll change next week, but it does feel like spring is in the air. Daffodils are popping. Life is happening. Hope everyone's having a great day. I thought I'd come in and just sit down and chat a little bit. I do have a lot of stuff to do. I've shared before getting rid of that house and all of the junk in it and all the memories and all of the history and all the stuff that I haven't looked at for years. They always say, if you haven't looked at it for 6 months, you should just throw it away. And I'm like, I agree. Until I find it. And then I look at it, I'm like, I've been looking for you. And then the madness starts all over. So really, I don't know. It's tough. Moving's tough. Throwing away stuff is tough. It is a major, major inconvenience, but we will get through it. It is not that big of a deal. I'm just sort of dealing with it in small pieces. Had to move some equipment over to my dad's. I'm like, can I put the lawnmower and snowblower in your garage? He's like, no. I'm like, come on. You're doing nothing with that space. I don't want any more junk. I was like, okay. So I snuck it in there this morning. I don't think he'll care. I actually have a plan. It's the lawnmower is this old ride-on mower that I want to fix up and clean up. Maybe take the mowing deck off because our new house, I walk. I have a little lawnmower. We don't have a big yard, so I just cut it. I walk and cut. So I'm thinking maybe I'll turn this little lawnmower into a, I don't know, maybe we'll put a little trailer on it, drive it around the neighborhood. Kids probably have a lot of fun with that thing. I don't know. Probably set myself up for disaster. But I have a plan, right? I want to work on it and get it fixed up. It's an old lawnmower, and I really do like, actually, the old lawnmowers. So that I want to do that. And then we have a snowblower. And listen, when it comes to snowblowing his house, he sure doesn't mind. So hopefully he won't be too upset. I doubt it. Have him over for dinner tonight. I talk about my higher power, right? God. And it has been an interesting journey, right? I came in here with a lot of my defenses up, right? Or just, just not having had a relationship really ever with a higher power, right? Or a lower power, or at least not that I was aware of, or at least not the way that I had sort of painted the picture. And, you know, this program and getting sober and working on recovery and headed towards Serenity Island, right? Just get me there one day. Fortunately for me, I have to address this stuff, this higher power stuff. And, you know, I shared the other day about really just kind of deleting anything that I thought was a higher power or the relationship, what it looked like, and all this different stuff for me, right? This is my journey. Everybody has their own. But for me, you know, just sort of having to, you know, I didn't grow up with a punishing God. I wasn't Catholic. I grew up with a punishing devil, right? I always, you know, God, I always loved the story about God, at least how it was given to me, which was you have to follow God and you have to love God. But if you sin, right, all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. And I was like, geez, how do you time that, right? How do you time, dear Lord, can you please forgive me right before you die, right? And so, but I always thought that that was an interesting out. But the relationship with the devil has always been crazy. You know, I grew up in the 80s, right? And in the 80s, everything was about the devil, especially in music, right? In the, you know, if anybody can remember, if you lived back then, I don't know, but there was like Judas Priest was put on trial, right, for having satanic messages. If you turn the record backwards, I don't know, I don't exactly recall. It just was always a hot topic. These advisory stickers they started putting on albums, right? The satanic albums. You know, I was a big fan of Ozzy, and he was always satanic, right? And as a kid, I'm like, you know, what does that even mean, right? He must have sold his soul, right, to the devil or whatever it was. But it was this weird character sort of devil. And always, you know, in the back of my mind, picturing this guy standing on a rock in the middle of a lake of lava where, you know, you just basically, if you're a sinner, right, that's where you ended up, in a lake of lava with the devil.
Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
I left alone. My mind was blank. I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind. What did I see? Could I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw. Staring back at me. Cause in my dreams, it's always there. The evil face that twists my mind and brings me to despair.
Six, 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 the number of the beast. Holy shit. That is what I grew up with. What was it? There was movies. Oh, my God. What was that movie? Oh, I forget. But I remember the guy had to find the mark of the devil on the back of the kid's Omen. The Omen. Right? These are the movies I grew up with. The Omen. And you had to find the mark of the devil behind the kid's ear. And it was always so crazy. And, you know, I guess it whatever. Right? That's just how, what I grew up with in my sort of version of the devil. And, you know, I, for me, you know, if I'm going to have a relationship with God, I'm going to have a relationship with the devil too. And I don't mean like, let's dance. I just mean, I know where you're at, right? And I know what to look for today, right? And turns out it's not like the relationship I had with the devil as a teenager, or at least my thought or my vision of the devil, right? Today, right? I have talked to the devil, right? I have had conversations, right? But what I, for at least for me today, you know, the devil is a different thing, right? The devil is self, ego, pride, gluttony, right? All of these things that are of the opposite of what we should be doing, right? A humble life, I guess. For me, right? I don't know. I said the other day, maybe I'm just taking the soft side. Maybe I should be tough, right? Get the fuck out of the way, right? I should have that. You know, who cares what you say, right? Did your feelings get hurt? Who cares, right? But I don't want to live like that. I just don't want to live like that. Maybe you can live like that and not drink again. I don't know. But I prefer to live in the humble side of life, right? I try to be humble, be helpful. I try not to hurt, right? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I want to have relationships where people can count on me, right? And maybe that's self-serving too. Maybe, you know, self's like, yeah, let's be great. I don't know, man. It is freaking confusing. But I can tell you one thing. The relationship I have with the devil is completely different than growing up. And I had, you know, I've talked about it. You know, I was sober 4 years, almost 5 years over in Easton. And the devil came a-knocking, right? Some people call it pride. Some people call it ego. Some people call it, I don't know, many different names. But that devil came a-knocking one day and started telling me different things, right? It came to me when I was going to that meeting over there and said that he didn't like, we didn't like. Or you could also call it cravings, right? I don't know. Cravings might be the best one because, but it comes in different ways, and it came in different ways to me. And he said, I don't like the way they collect this money here. I don't like the way they run this meeting. Let's find a different meeting. It's like hanging out with that guy you just think is so cool, and you just say yes to everything and don't think twice about what we're doing. That's how the devil is, and that's how he came to me that day, and he said, let's get out of this meeting. You know, these guys don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're collecting money wrong. Let's get out of here. And off I went, right? Devil also told me, we'll find another meeting, right? And it wasn't in that, oh, to you, oh, earth and sea voice. It was like, hey, man, what's going on? Look how good you've been doing, right? There was no red flames. There was no horns. There was no, you know, poker, right? It was just a normal voice. Sounded a lot like me, in fact. The voice sounded just like me. It's like, hey, man, look how good you've done. Maybe we should try different things, right? Let's try beer. Let's have a conversation. And for some reason, I had not been holding the hand of God, right? I didn't even understand it, right? And sure enough, I listened, and the next thing you know, I'm drinking again. And when I put that fucking liquor in my mouth, it's like opening up the gates of hell. And the devil stepped right in, and off we went. And I look back at those days with shame and embarrassment and can't believe that I fell for that shit again. And lucky enough, right? One day I had the opportunity to jump through that window one more time and shake the devil. You know, if you get hurt, get hit, get crashed, do something embarrassing, the devil will take a break, right? The devil's like, oh my God, look what you got into. I'm out, right? When I got punched in the mouth, I was free of the devil, right? When my wife left with our child and I woke up to the empty house, the devil went with them. Right, I had this moment of clarity, and I took advantage of it. Right, but they're short. Right, you know, sometimes we have those moments of clarity, and we reach out to people, and we say, "Listen, I'm having a tough time. I need some help. I need to talk. I need a sponsor. I need whatever it is I need to do." And if we don't fill our lives with people like that or opportunities like that, the devil comes back. The devil will come back, and you know, he's like, we won't do that again. We won't drive, right? We won't drink and drive. Listen, if we're going to go, you know, I think a lot of devil moments are when people get drunk and then behave badly, right, around friends, right? Inappropriate, saying certain things to certain people probably shouldn't be said unless you're under the influence, right? And those embarrassing, humiliating moments where the devil takes a break, you know, but a lot of the times we're like, well, that wasn't so bad, right? I'm sorry. I won't ever do that again, right? I apologize. Or, you know, you get arrested and you got to go to court and, you know, you work through it and you come out on the other side and you're not going to spend a million years in jail. And it's sort of the dust settles. And then once we sort of feel like we survived that dramatic moment, the devil comes back, right? He comes on back. And luckily, you know, I was much more aware of it this time. When I sort of came to the conclusion that I had had a conversation with the devil and I had listened, I pay very close attention to that now, right? The devil is very cunning. He will sneak right up on you. And it doesn't have to, you know, there's no lava, right? There's no flames. It's just these typical voices, right? You know, I've said this before, the devil is very loud in my head, right? The devil... I hear he consumed about 3/4 of my mind, and God seems to take about 1/4, right? And so my first thought is always the devil's thought. It's always self. It's always pride. It's always ego, right? It's always just coming down here, right? Some guy passes me and pulls right in front of me. Devil says, fuck that motherfucker, you know, smash into him, rear end him, right? And of course, I would never do that, but that's the thought. Right, the thought wasn't, oh, look, he's in a hurry. Let's just back up and let him get about his own way there, and we won't bother him. No, that's not the thought. It's like, that son of a bitch. And I have to remind myself, he. Right, this happens. My brother came down, which he's, I love my brother, man. I've talked about my brother and the challenges, but he's a fucking great guy, and he came down yesterday and helped me take some stuff to the trash, and I love my brother. This is another, I guess, another example, right? The devil starts getting in my head about my brother, and when I'm with my brother, I love him, right? I love that guy. He's awesome, and every time I'm like, I got to build that relationship up, right? I got to build it up better. And but the I don't even know what I was going to say.
Shit.
I don't know. The point is that it's a oh, I know. You know, my brother was down, and we went to, I took him to lunch. He helped me take some stuff to the dump, and I bought him lunch. And we're sitting there in line. You know, it's a line of like 10 people. We're probably four people back. And this guy, DoorDash, right? These DoorDash guys, I tell you, we're in line. He comes all the way around the line. He goes right to the counter and is asking, is so-and-so's food ready? And I'm like, bitch, the line's back there, right? Or at least that's what the devil said. But God's like, it's not mad. It doesn't matter, right? He's trying to make a living. Don't worry. It's not going to affect you. But I have to be quiet, right? I have to, you know, some people say meditate. I, you know, maybe it's a little micro meditation that I go through, but I have to sort of be quiet and listen to the one quarter of that space in my head that is taken up by God. Because the voice is quiet, right? And it's subtle and it's humble. And it says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Does this matter? Will it matter in 5 minutes? Will it matter in 10 minutes? If you say something, this will be a thing in 10 minutes. If you just shut your mouth, right? And just be cool and it doesn't matter, you'll be fine in 5 minutes. But this can go a whole different way. You know, you can open your mouth. I can open my mouth about something and it can consume the rest of the day, right? Or I can just be humble and be like, it doesn't matter. And I can tell you what, man, there are not that many things in my life today that are that important, right? Clearly, my family and my business are important. But, you know, I run my business and my wife and I manage our family on a daily basis, right? And so nothing gets too crazy. I think the craziest thing we got right now is this, my daughter has been sick. So, you know, she does the kitty litter and the kitty litter's full. That's our biggest problem today. So to speak, right? I mean, we really don't have any problems, but that's how I live my life, right? Because I learned, I know better. And, you know, so I just think it's interesting how, people get so uncomfortable when it comes to God, right? I was at a meeting, went to the meeting last night and somebody was talking about, you know, this coming into this program and looking at the steps and thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do that. And that happens a lot, you know. I think it even happened with me because I came in with such a bad story, right? Such a bad story about how my relationship with God was. And it was really just this one that was served by self. And anytime, I've said this, you know, anytime self's looking for a relationship with God, more than likely, probably not going to find it, right? Because what I've learned, at least for me today, right, and everybody has their own relationship and how that works in their life, but for me today, it's about humility, right? I just want to be like, hey, no big deal, right? I'm not road raging. I don't want to. Devil tries to get me to, but I really do not want to. I want to stay cool, humble, and relaxed, and, you know, that to me is the way to live, but it's a learning process. And I have to really, you know, at some point I had to, I started to have pretty amazing feelings, pretty amazing experiences, pretty amazing moments of peace in my life. And I started to try to figure out what was causing it, right? What was that, right? It talks about in that, I don't know, I don't even have the book. I think it's just called Came to Believe. But it talks about how we're constantly trying to find that moment when we finally surrender to this disease, right? That moment of peace. Mine was driving down the highway after that first meeting and just not being full of fear, right? And just being overwhelmed with this feeling that I hadn't had in so long. You know, for so long, I was thinking about this morning. For so long, I was always waiting for the next shoe to drop. When was it? Because it was gonna. Right. Even when I got sober on March 31st, 1997, I was headed for something bad. Right. And maybe that's what it was. Right. Getting punched in the mouth at a bar, dropped to my knees, almost knocked out. Right. Maybe that was where I was headed. But I think I was headed for something worse, whether it was another DUI, a drunk driving accident, being robbed. You know, we would drive into these bad parts of the town looking for drugs. you know, I was setting myself up once again for disaster. And I'm just so grateful, at least, you know, for today that didn't happen. It didn't happen. But there are moments I still feel like, I'm like, when's the next shoe going to drop, right? And I have to remind myself, you're not breaking the law, right? You're not doing anything that's going to get you in a pickle, right? I guess it's just the thoughts of old behavior, maybe. I don't know. But it is, it's nice to remind myself, hey, you don't drink, right? You don't do drugs. You're not doing that stuff anymore. You're free of it. As long as you, you know, work a program, work with others, work, go to meetings, you know. Did go to the meeting last night. It was great. My buddy Jimmy Kay, he was going to, I asked him to speak last week. And when we showed up, the lady that runs the meeting already had asked someone to speak. So Jimmy Kay was off the hook that night. But before he left, she said, hey, can you come speak next week? And he was like, of course. And so we showed up. And fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know, but we have something in this meeting where I think if it's the last Saturday of the month, we do a tradition. And so last night's meeting was going to be on the second tradition. And which is fine. You know, Jimmy Kay, he's been doing this long enough. He knows about the traditions. And so he was all ready. But then we had someone that came in with less than 30 days. And so, of course, we revert back to the first step. And, you know, there's so much in the first step, and it seems so basic, right? I think it's probably the shortest chapter that we read, right? The one thing about the first step is that I can't, when, like last night, when we read it, and then I want to share, I want to share all the secrets and easy ways to figure out this first step, right? Learning about humility, trying to figure out, is it the first time I've even experienced humility when I admitted, right? It takes we instead of I. Unmanageable. Who's it unmanageable to? Me, or is it unmanageable to everybody else, right? I just want to say all this stuff, and the reality is that I had to experience it all, right? And so there is no secret sentence or paragraph to tell somebody that's going to make this any easier, right? And so my message is always like, just go to a lot of meetings, right? Go to a meeting every day. Try to go to two if you can, right? Talk to other people. Come, come in early, help to clean up afterwards. I don't even think worrying about the steps really in the literature is even that important for the first chunk of time, right? You know, it's always like, well, if I'm not working the steps, am I doing the right thing? I don't know. Right? I just think it's about, because the person that came in when I came in was really a piece of shit, right? And so I needed to just learn how to be accountable, just to show up, right? Here's the time, here's the location, be there. Okay, right? Let's do that for 30 days, right? Let's just show up, sit down and listen, right? And watch. Listen and watch. And that's what I did. And you know, there's so much to be learned when you start hanging around with like-minded people like that. Right. I remember hanging out with bad people and the things that I learned. Right. I was quite good at being bad back in San Diego. You know, we had quite the hustle. And I used to think, oh, I'm street smart. Right. No, I'm devil smart, I guess. I would not consider myself street smart today for sure. But back in those days, I became good at doing what we did, which is selling drugs, trying not to get caught, going, you know, taking different directions, staying out of the way of other people. Right. It was a whole scene, right? And so now I have to learn how to be better as being a human. And that's where I started learning it, right in the meetings, right? Just listening and watching other people do the next right thing. And like I said, you know, my buddy James that spoke last night, he was one of them, right? I remember, and I've shared this, I became friends with a guy who was a doctor, right? He has a doctorate in English, right? I mean, he's not an MD, but he's still a fucking doctor. And I love that. I'm like, I never had a friend that was a doctor. I was never capable of having a lifestyle that would ever allow me to be friends with a doctor, right? And so when I met him and he was a doctor, I'm like, holy shit, I got a doctor that's my friend. And I just thought that was so freaking cool. Yeah, is it selfish? Probably. But man, what else? It's the best I could do at the time. But I would watch Jim and how he went to meetings and how he would act and how he would speak and share and listen. And I just tried to soak it in. And I wanted to be, you know, he was one of the people that I sort of modeled my recovery from. And there was Scott and just a whole shitload, my buddy Matt, a whole shitload of people that I watched and learned, right? I shared that conversation that I had with Matt when he was having the party, and I asked him if he could change it, and he said, for you? Move the whole party for you? And I thought for a second he might, right? But I'll never forget, I walked away from that conversation realizing what a self-centered person I was, right? And it was just, it was an eye-opening experience, and yeah. So the whole point of this was, you know, it's just trying to, you know, first of all, talking about the devil, having a relationship with the devil, being aware of the devil isn't the end of the world, right? And having a relationship with God, building a new type of relationship with God is what I had to do. Doesn't have to be the scariest thing that goes on, right? At least for me, one thing I realize is the devil or God is just not somebody I ask for things, right? And what I said last night is what I've learned today is that, you know, the more I work these steps and try to live this lifestyle, the less I really need God, right? I say, hey, you know, thank you, Lord, for this day. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. And, you know, that's about it. And then the rest is just the living God, right? That lifestyle, a way of life. You know, to me, God is more of a way of life, a behavior, right? A thought, a second thought. Think, 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 right? How do I think this through? Having humility, are we headed for trouble, right? And being very aware when that voice is like, nah, you're not headed for trouble. Let's go for it, right? Okay, that's a devil, right? And so it's just starting to understand these roles. They don't have to be punishing God, and it doesn't have to be a punishing devil, right? I don't have to live in a lake of fire to really start to lose my shit, right? In fact, some of the devil's biggest moves on me felt really good at the time, right? But what does it happen as I let go of the hand of God and that relationship ends? So I guess my point is just, you know, be open, right? Don't be afraid. Enjoy the stuff that comes with this program. I think it's really great. All right, I'm going to see if I can do the daily reflections, and then I am going to go make some stew. Stewie. All right. Daily Reflections. February the 25th. The challenge of failure. In God's economy, nothing is wasted. Through failure, we learn a lesson in humility, which is probably needed, painful though it is. In God's economy, nothing is wasted. Through failure, we learn a lesson in humility, which is probably needed, painful though it is. Yeah, it's like Nick Saban, right? He was the coach for Alabama. And he says, never miss the opportunity of a good loss, right? Because there's a lot to be learned in loss, right? And so I think that's sort of what I'm taking from that. As Bill sees it, that was page 31. How thankful I am today to know that all my past failures were necessary for me to be where I am now. Through much pain came experience, and in suffering I became obedient. When I sought God, as I understand him, he shared his treasured gifts. Through experience and obedience, growth started, followed by gratitude. Yes, then came peace of mind, living and sharing sobriety. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Listen, I hope everyone has a great day. Read that yourself. Talk to your sponsor, work with others, go to a lot of meetings, you know, pay attention to all the voices in our head, right? Pay attention to them. Cravings, right? I just call that devil, right? Anything that's loud and proud, I'm pretty sure that's probably in my life, that's probably the devil. I have to wait a second and hear that second quieter voice that's maybe like, maybe that's not a good idea, right? And, you know, just be grateful that you're not having a drink today, right? I hope everyone has a great day. Later.